Flynn, Episode 3, Whirlpool.
Now, my dad always said, don't get into an argument you can't win. Actually, I think he was talking about getting along with women. You know how some women are just like terriers? They grab onto something, shake it into submission, and then tuck it neatly away, even when they don't have a clue what it's all about. It's the tidying up that's important to them. My mother's like that. And so is Willie.
I don't know why you're making such a big deal out of this. All I said was get him a collar and a dog license.
You're not listening to me. Tides isn't my dog.
What do you mean? He spends half his time on this boat.
And is he here today?
Well, no.
And for good reason. You tried to teach him to heal. Tides is his own master. You got to get that through your head.
Okay, have it your way. Keep bailing him out of the pound. I still say a license is cheaper.
Concentrate on your steering, Willie.
There was a good reason I was so defensive about that mutt Tides. He was part of the reason we were out here. A few nights earlier, the dog was aboard the Blarney Boy when someone hijacked a fishing boat a couple of berths away from me. I figured the dog would bark if there was any trouble, but we both slept through. Now I had the Valcon Insurance Company on my tail, and 4 days to find the missing boat. Well, as far as old Sam and Willie knew, it was just a fishing trip. Lawyers are a proud bunch. I figured it was just as well not to mention they were decoys in an undercover investigation.
The current's pretty strong here.
You're doing fine. I'll start the diesel and take in the sails. We had sailed north through the Strait of Georgia, stopping for a couple of days at Pender Harbor. No sign of the missing $200,000 seiner along the way. And no fish for old Sam. Not even my trusty electronic scanner, a built-in fish finder, could even the odds. So we decided to cut back through Jervis Inlet, then down the east side of the Seashell Peninsula.
Hey, this place we're going to, have you been there before?
Cutter's Cove. No, not many sailboats through here. It's just a village, but it's got a store and some mooring.
I hope they have a shower and some hot water.
Yeah. You're tired of swimming in the ocean already, eh?
Yeah, I thought you loved scuba diving.
Until I spotted those blue sharks near the shelf on Friday. What were they doing so far north?
Looking for food.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Despite our differences over the dog, Sam Green's niece, Willie, was becoming a compatible traveling companion. Not that I still wasn't a little nervous about giving her the helm, especially when things were tricky.
What are you doing?
There's something dead ahead.
Climb over to port.
Damn, what did we hit?
Sorry, Flynn, I should have seen it sooner.
It's nobody's fault. I'll take over here. You check the bow, see if there's any damage.
Willie, watch your step.
Yeah, hang on to the safety line.
There's no damage that I can see.
Good. Hey, there. That's what we hit. It looks like a bale of hay or something.
It wasn't hay. I knew that as soon as Sam pointed it out. More likely, marijuana. Maybe 100 pounds of it wrapped in burlap sacking. This rugged coast was a haven for smuggling when times were tough. Our best move was to keep going. Why get involved? Then another boat appeared on the scene. A fast Zodiac inflatable.
Hey! Having trouble?
We hit a bale of something. No damage.
This wouldn't be yours, would it?
No way! If it's what I think it is, we'd better report it to the RCMP.
Well, my radio's been acting up. Maybe you could handle it.
My name's Vern Finnborgsen. I'll pull this thing aboard and meet you at the store in Cutter's Cove. We can phone from there.
There were a lot of Finns scattered out through the Seashell Peninsula. Salt of the earth, most of them. Loggers, farmers, fishermen. Vern seemed to be a chip off the hereditary block. Fair-haired, a slim, agile man with broad shoulders. He had no trouble loading the suspicious cargo, and was as good as his word in turning it over to the Mounties. We all made statements. The cops figured the bale was part of a large shipment they had intercepted a few days earlier. The tides probably carried it into the inlet. We made arrangements to stay the night at Cutter's Cove and put the incident behind us.
Bread, 2 cans apiece, 3 steaks, 12 eggs, 5 pounds of potatoes, coffee. Is that all?
I guess so. Oh, yeah. You wouldn't have a recent chart on the inlet and a tide table, would you? I understand it's a little tricky in here.
Yeah, I'll get them.
Lorelei, the woman who ran the marina store, was plain as porridge. 6 feet tall, about 40. The gray was beginning to show in streaks among her long blonde tresses. She looked put upon. Nothing like the cheerful picture tacked to the wall behind the counter. There she was, in happier times, holding a 25-pound salmon.
Here you are. Whole thing comes to $28.55. Mm-hmm. There's your change.
Thank you.
Well, where is he this time, Vern? I know you're in here.
Harry, shut up.
I know what you're up to, you two. You and Vern.
Oh, for heaven's sake,
you're
going
to frame me. That's what you're going to do. You let me carry the can. You steal my store.
Harry, we've got customers.
I don't give a damn.
God, Harry, you're not back on the sauce again.
You don't change the subject, you snake. You stay away from my wife.
Now, you need to sober up, Harry. There's nothing going on between Lorelei and me.
Let me handle it, Vern. You help Mr. Flynn out with his groceries. Apologies, Mr. Flynn. My husband's a drunk. What can I say? Okay, Harry, back to the living room.
Oh,
I'm cutting
out, Harry.
Come on, Harry.
I'm gonna
do. Oh, he gets worse every time he falls off the wagon.
Ooh, too bad. She seems like an okay person.
Well, she is. I try to help her out when I can. Her account books and such. Oh, yeah. That's why I was in the back office. He's the problem. Alcoholic paranoia.
Oh, hope it all works out. But it's no business of mine.
I overheard you asking for charts on the inlet.
Mm-hmm.
You sure you want to go through the Skookum Chuck in a sailboat?
Oh, you mean the tidal whirlpools?
Right. Two of them. Right off the little island in the narrowest part of the channel.
Well, I thought you could get around them at slack tide.
By using your auxiliary?
I got a 50-horse inboard.
Yeah, still pretty dicey.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Well, what was all the shouting about up at the store?
Oh, family squabble. Hey, you want to come aboard for a drink, Vern?
No. I'll take a rain check.
Well, thanks for your help.
No trouble. Anytime.
Seems to be a nice guy.
According to Harry Krebs.
Harry who?
Just a joke. Hey, come on. I did the shopping. You've got the galley duty.
Again?
Willie helped Sam with the dishes after dinner, giving me a chance to check out the marina and environs. There had been 2 sightings of a Saner-type fishing boat moving north up Georgia Strait the night my client's craft went missing. If they didn't want a chance traveling by day, the thieves might have holed up in one of these little coves. But there was nothing resembling what I was looking for at the small marina. Just a few pleasure craft and the odd, aging native fishing boat. I used my binoculars to scan the shore of the cove opposite. Spotted a few cottages and the weathered wreck of an abandoned boatworks.
Hey, down for. They frightened the man.
Frightened? I nearly jumped out of my skin. There, straining at his leash, was more of a bear than a dog. Probably a Malamute German Shepherd cross. His master, if you could imagine such a relationship, was a slight old man sitting on the foredeck of a homemade Cape Island-style fisherman.
What you be? A developer of some sort?
Tourist. Just a tourist. You sure that leash is strong enough?
Oh, don't you mind old Thor here. You must have a dog. He can smell it on you.
Oh.
My name's Jack.
Flynn. You a fisherman?
Oh, one was fish, yes. Thor, quiet. Not this year. Worst year I can remember.
So there wouldn't be any Saners through here. I hope I'd get some pictures.
Saners? Oh, you mean putting out the nets in the inlet?
Yeah.
Oh, no. The Saner fleet's off the tip of Vancouver Island mostly this time of year. Quiet, boy. Rain's coming. Thor don't like thunder.
He's not the only one who's under the weather. I met Harry Krebs earlier.
Yeah? Oh, I don't know what's got into him lately. Harry and Vern have been buddies since they was kids.
Oh, yeah?
If gossip has it, Lorelei's sweet on Vern. I don't put much stake in gossip. Except Harry's been drinking and sounding off pretty fierce. It must be something hooked into him.
The rain came down in buckets. Usually that helped me sleep, but not this night. I'd been looking for some trace of a missing fishing boat and wound up with more than I wanted to know about a saltwater soap opera, the Harry and Lorelei show. I slipped on my rain gear and went out to check the mooring lines. Everything was secure topside, and I was just heading below again when I caught sight of a light. It came from the abandoned boatworks on the other side of the cove. I felt an icy shiver down my spine. You know, the kind you get when you wish someone else was working on the case. Who could be poking around there in the middle of the night? Then I saw it. A large commercial fishing boat was easing its way out of the derelict boat shed and moving through the cove into the channel. Was that Harry Krebs at the helm? A lightning flash silhouetted the vessel. The distinctive superstructure. The large take-up cylinder for the nets. She was a sailor, all right. But was she the missing Carol B? For a moment, I was seized with a mad impulse. I cut her off with the Barney boy. As I moved to cast off the mooring lines, I realized I wasn't alone. Thor, old Jack's dog. Only this time, no leash.
No! Thor! Friend! Friend, it's me, Flynn.
Flynn? That you?
Get him off me, Jack!
Thor! That's enough. Sorry, Flynn. Thought you were a prowler.
The fishing boat.
What fishing boat?
Well, you must have seen it. Someone took a seiner out of the old boatworks.
Oh, no, Flynn. That place closed down 15 years ago.
Well, you didn't see it then?
Stormy night like this. Lightning and all. Oh, people see lots of things. No shame in that. Good night.
So, I'd missed the boat, as the saying goes. Maybe it was for the best. Chasing a fishing boat through unfamiliar waters in the rain wasn't really one of my brightest ideas. My encounter with Thor was probably a blessing in disguise. I had my suspicions about Jack hanging around the marina. But that could wait. Right now, I was beat. I crawled into my bunk and zonked out. By 9 the next morning, the rain had stopped and a light mist had settled in. I was just turning over to catch another 30 winks when I realized the Blarney boy was preparing to get underway.
You think this underwater scanner will help?
The fish finder?
Sure.
It's got a good-sized display screen, sharp definition, range is okay. Of course, you still have to know where to look for the fish.
I phoned the weather office. They're predicting this mist should burn off by late morning.
We'll be halfway down the inlet by then.
What's going on here?
Oh, good morning, Flynn. We were going to surprise you. I hired Lorelei here as a fishing guide.
She's licensed. Knows the inlet like the back of her hand.
And we'll finally have someone aboard who knows how to operate this underwater scanner of yours.
What was Lorelei up to? Was she taking us out on some kind of wild goose chase so her husband could put some distance between Cutter's Cove and wherever he was going? If that was Harry Krebs on the fishing boat last night.
Maybe we should have checked first, but we thought you'd be pleased.
I could refund your money.
I saw something unexpected in Lorelei's eyes. Something vulnerable and frightened. Maybe she'd open up about Harry Krebs if I went along. Without Lorelei's help, I was sure to come up empty.
So, what do you say, Flynn?
Let's catch a fish.
Great.
You take the helm, Lorelei.
Right.
We eased out of the cove through the early morning mist. There was a sense of unreality about it, as if we were being carried forward into the unknown on the back of an undulating gray serpent. I looked at Lorelei standing confidently at the helm, guiding us through the whispering narrows.
See over there where the water turns in on itself, over there to the left?
Kind of a circle?
Yeah, that's the large whirlpool.
You can hardly see it.
Slack tide. The bigger motor cruisers could go right through it now, but for us, it's best to stay on the right side of the channel.
Right.
The tides rise through here up to 15 feet, and then they run down the inlet about 35 kilometers. And when they reach the end at Seashell, they reverse the flow, so there's a powerful surge of water through here both ways.
I bet.
That's what makes the whirlpool so dangerous.
A few minutes later, the inlet began to widen. When I took over the helm from Lorelei, I could still feel the current beneath the keel as the mists continued to fold in on us and then float away. But there was nothing sinister about it. Lorelei switched on the underwater scanner while Sam and Willie cooked up some breakfast on the galley stove below.
So, Chinook are a cunning breed of salmon, eh? How do we spot them?
Well, they like to get in the shade of a log boom at about 50 to 75 feet. We'll look for pilot birds in the area, then set the herring bait on downriggers.
Oh, yeah.
Up top in the cockpit, I was beginning to relax. Lorelei seemed to know what she was talking about. I'd picked my time to find out more about Harry's whereabouts. Then I heard it. Directly ahead, through the cold mist, I caught sight of a froth of bubbles roiling up from the depths. As I spun the wheel hard to port and throttled back, images of sea monsters spilled out of my overly active imagination.
Oh, my God. There's something down there.
Lorelei's face blanched as she glanced up from the monitor screen. In that moment, the prow of a boat burst up through the air bubbles. At first, I thought it was a submarine surfacing. But it wasn't a submarine. It was the wreck of a fishing boat, somehow cast up from the bowels of the sea. I caught sight of the nameplate. The Carol B. For a few moments, the vessel was frozen in time. It was like being confronted by a ghost. Then it started slipping under, stern first.
Get a line aboard! We have to do something!
Lynn, you almost
crashed. Oh, my God!
Good Lord, did we hit that boat?
What happened?
Oh, no, it's sinking! Oh. Harry, for God's sake, Harry!
Her husband's on that boat?
Yes, the Carol B., a stolen fishing boat. Harry took it out last night.
You? Oh, Flynn, I think I saw him in the wheelhouse.
He's probably just floating debris.
No,
I didn't see anyone.
I know.
Better contact the police.
No.
The radio's still out.
Well, maybe he got to shore. Was there a life raft?
I don't know.
The boat, why did it come up like that, out of nowhere?
It's the whirlpool. It sucked the boat down, and when the tide changed, it threw it up to the surface. But was Harry in it?
There's only one way to find out.
Now, don't get crazy, Flynn. That boat's gone.
Well, look, we can track it with the underwater scanner. It should spot something that big. We can mark the location for the police.
And Harry? What about him?
Oh, I'll try to find out. We adjusted our heading several times, sweeping the inlet bottom, with no luck. Then, Willie spotted an unusual shape just ahead of us, moving slowly, and 70 feet below, according to the scanner.
There! Look, it's settling on that rock shelf.
Yeah, it's stopped. Well, what do we do now?
Help me with my scuba gear.
You're not going down there.
How else are we going to find out what happened?
Hurry, Flynn. The tide will be turning soon.
Here, let me tighten this strap. Are you out of your mind? Showboating like this could get you killed.
I need evidence for the insurance company.
What insurance company?
I'll explain later. Hand me the video camera.
You mean you were working for one of your other clients? My God, you were using Sam and me as decoys.
I didn't think you'd understand.
Oh, Flynn, honestly.
Well, here I go.
Hang on to the anchor cable and don't stay down long.
Despite the awkward load I was carrying, I managed to work my way down the anchor cable. My video camera was hardly top of the line, and its waterproof case was originally designed for a cine camera. But the floodlight worked, and I soon caught sight of the sunken boat. It was lying almost upright on a rock ledge about 30 feet from where the flukes of my anchor dug into some debris. I snapped a safety line onto the anchor cable and started swimming toward the wreck. Although it seemed to be slack tied on the surface, over 70 feet down, unpredictable currents buffeted me this way and that. It was as if I were caught up in some ritual dance with invisible wraith-like custodians of the dead. It wasn't a thought I wanted to dwell on. So I fastened a line to a railing and released the marker balloon. After that, I concentrated on my camera work, recording the nameplate on the bow, the Carol B. I saw him in the wheelhouse, about 20 feet away. Harry Krebs. An Ahab-like figure. Reddish hair. Stubbled face with blue-white skin. Slumped against the wheel, arms jammed down between the spokes. As the boat shifted over on its starboard beam, the drowned man's head lolled to one side. For a second, his milky, unseeing eyes met mine. I was caught by the unforgettable, pleading expression on his face. Without warning, my safety line drew taut, and I found myself hurtling backwards off the wreck. There wasn't time to recover the body. It was all I could do to hang onto the camera. Well, I knew what was happening. Someone was winching up the anchor.
Hey! Hey! What the hell is going on? Lily? Sam! Hey, where is everybody?
There was no one in the cockpit or on the forward deck. The Blarney boy was slowly drifting toward the Narrows a couple of kilometers away. Slipping off my scuba tank and mask, I tried to drop the anchor again. The winch motor was jammed. I'd need some tools. The storage locker. I was halfway down the companionway steps when I heard them. I hardly had time to turn and look up the steps. Vern was silhouetted in the opening. His arm came down, something hit me, and suddenly everything went black. My last vague memory was the sound of an outboard motor fading into the distance. Vern's inflatable Zodiac.
Flynn, wake up, you have to do something.
You okay, Flynn?
Long have I been out?
20 minutes, maybe.
We're in trouble. Vern cut the fuel line.
And the tide's turned. We're being sucked into the whirlpool.
Willie, go up top. Keep an eye on how close we are.
Okay.
Now, let's check the diesel. If there's enough slack in the hose, I can replace the clamp.
Come on, I'll help. Don't get air in the fuel line. We'll never get it started. Flynn, did you find Harry?
Yes. Sorry, murdered.
No.
Somebody tried to make it look like an accident.
Vern, he and Harry were partners.
Smuggling dope?
They'd steal a fishing boat, use it to transport the stuff from a mothership to the warehouse back of our store. A truck would pick it up and take it into Vancouver the next day. Harry would hide the stolen vessel in the old boat works until things quieted down, and then he'd scuttle it.
You better hurry, Flynn. I can see it.
Okay. I'm going as fast as I can.
Okay, here's the clamp.
Old Jack and his dog part of this?
Vern paid Jack to be a lookout.
So Vern was the mastermind?
Yeah.
What a cool customer. Phoning the RCMP and turning over the bale of weed we found.
That lost bale was what started the trouble. Vern was so mad he docked Harry's share of the take. Harry said he was going to take the fishing boat north to sell it. Vern was livid. I tried to stop Harry last night, but it was no use.
Flynn! We're getting close to the whirlpool!
Pull the helm hard over. Try to beach her. Okay, Lorelai, let's go up top.
Okay.
Now you get a safety line on the three of you. I'll take the controls.
Right.
The current's too strong. It won't answer the helm.
Look at that hole opening up. Like a mouth of a sea monster.
Secure the safety line. Our only hope is to stay with the boat.
Well, I don't know I can. Let's give it a shot.
By now, we were in the outer ring of the tidal pool. We began to circle the deepening maw of the watery black hole. I closed my eyes, said a prayer, and hit the starter button again.
Oh, yes! Great, you did it, Flynn!
Still caught. Hang on and pray.
There was only one chance. I had to take it. If I could build up enough speed and the engine didn't stall, I took the helm and angled slightly toward the vortex.
Are you mad? You're turning into the whirlpool!
He knows what he's doing, Willie. Give him a chance.
Hang on, both of you.
Oh, Flynn!
There wasn't time to explain. I had to maximize the power of the diesel and draw on the centrifugal force of the upper lip of the whirlpool. We were still on the outer ring. The trick was to keep the bow up into the spinning wall of water without losing way. A nosedive into the core of the whirling cone would spell the end of the Blarney boy. And us with it.
Can you break free?
One shot at it. Here goes.
Oh, no.
Come on.
Oh, Barney boy, my angel. You did it. You got us through.
That was a miracle.
That kind of thrill. I don't need more than once in a lifetime.
No, thank you.
The RCMP caught up with Vern and Jack at the Langdale ferry dock. Having the dog with them didn't help this time. As for Lorelei, her chances were good with Sam Green representing her. All in all, our little boating adventure turned out pretty well. Even Willie got over her snit about being window dressing for my insurance investigation. Or so I thought when we all climbed into our sleeping bags that night.
Oh, come on, guys, a water balloon in my bed?
It's payback time.
For using us as decoys.
Thanks a lot.
You've just heard Flynn, Part 3, Whirlpool, written by Lyle and Barbara Brown, and starring Boyd Norman. Featured in the cast were Colleen Winton as Willie and Robert Clothier as Sam. Special guests this week were Angela Gann, Tom Macbeth, Des Smiley, and Lee Taylor. The recording engineer is Chris Cutress, with sound effects by Joe Silva. The production assistants, Dagmar Kafanka and Loretta Joyce. Music for Flynn is composed by Alan Cranny, and the series script consultant is James W. Nichol.